The following is a production of Des Moines Sears Media. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gifted and Talented Education Rejects podcast. I'm David Sears with my very talented friend and co-host, Liz Des Moines. Gifted and Talented Education Rejects is a podcast for the brilliant misfits, burned out brainiacs, and neurospicy overachievers who never quite fit the mold or did until they decided the mold was pointless. We qualified, but we weren't in the program. Now we're taking the mic.
Welcome to the podcast about midlife for all of the grown-up former gifted kids who will let a phone call go to voicemail because you don't want to talk to someone, but you'll text them back because of your demand avoidance.
If you've got your own gifted kid starter pack, the weird thing you always carry now, or habits, drop it in our comments or DMs. We might read a few in the next episode. Liz, welcome to the podcast. How are we doing today?
It's been an eventful few weeks. So yes, we had Christmas. Christmas was fine. However, there were some food storage crimes that occurred. Not perpetrated by myself, but I'm the one that paid for them. I ended up getting food poisoning the day after Christmas.
Boxing Day. You unboxed botulism.
I unboxed something Boxing Day when we were having leftovers. And let's just say I am at a negative for weight gained through the holiday season because there's none. There's like nothing. Like, yeah, my 15 pounds I gained during the holiday season, gone. And it took 5 extra pounds with it, which I'm not complaining about, but it felt like Satan was crawling out of my butt.
Are you to at least some solid foods now? At least bland yes. toast? Or have we progressed past?
I've been on chicken and rice for a while. Okay. I've been on a very steady chicken and rice diet. I made the mistake of my husband saying, "Oh, hey, do you want me to bring home some Mexican food?"
Ooh.
I said, "Oh, sure." And I wasn't even thinking. And I got carne asada. No, it wasn't carne asada. I got fajitas. And the tortillas were fine. Rice was fine, but it's the freaking beans.
They are the magical fruit.
Oh my God. Yeah, my gut biome is not there yet. I can't handle it yet.
You need to be on kefir and kombucha and getting that bacteria built back up.
I'm doing Greek yogurt, bone broth, soups made of bone broth. The other thing, and I've tested it recently because I've had some pasta and some tomatoes. But lots of rice, lots of chicken and rice over at Panda Express. I've basically been living off of the white rice and the chicken and mushrooms.
There you go.
Doesn't piss off my stomach.
Well, there you go.
And then what's really hilarious is right when I'm getting over to the food poisoning, I get the respiratory crud that's going around. So then I go from feeling like Satan is trying to crawl out of my butt to sounding like I smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day for 30 years. And good times. That's what we've been dealing with. How about you?
We are still in the midst of the migraine cluster. Can't really seem to get over the hump, get 100% away from it. So this Saturday, I was off Saturday. And I ended up doing a lot of laundry, the dishes, running the dishwasher. Ooh, I got to run the dishwasher after I finish here. I've just been staying busy trying to clean up around the house. I pulled an old man, which I thought was really funny. So I love my Project Rock pink hoodie. It's hoodie season in Alabama. So I'm just getting more of my hoodies and stuff. And I got it where I would wear it. So I put it in my main closet so I could see it every day so I could wear it. No others there. So guess what I spent the last 72 hours looking, trying to find?
Your pink hoodie.
My pink hoodie. And I'm like, all right, did I put it on the bed and cover it with clothes? Did it fall down behind the bed? Did I move it to a different closet?
You were
closet?
Wearing it, weren't you?
No, it was in my closet right in front of me on a pink hanger with my other Alabama hoodies I moved to wear. So I was just like, oh my goodness. So I was like, I'm an old man. I was not wearing it at least, but I was trying to find it and having issues finding it. But I found it, of course, tonight. So I feel nice, nice and starting to lose my mind. Hey, you know, I had enough concussions.
The best one is always like, I will look for my glasses and they're on my face.
No, I used my flashlight on my cell phone to look for my cell phone underneath like on the bed once.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's a good one.
That's a good one. Well, let's get things started off on this fun edition of Gifted and Talented Education Rejects. When we were younger, we saw lots of things. What did you think would be a bigger deal in the future when you were younger? For instance, quicksand was everywhere in our childhood, from the Never-Ending Story to Blazing Saddles to various superhero shows.
Yep.
For me, I was 100% sure I was going to be kidnapped because we saw so many different things. TV shows, news reports, how to avoid being kidnapped, what to do if a stranger approaches you, stranger danger.
Yep.
My parents and I came up with the word that if a stranger was picking me up on behalf of my parents, they were supposed to tell me the word, which was Lamborghini Countach. And if they didn't tell me that, then I was to run and call the cops or run to the nearest police officer, security guard. So that was ours. Of course, you know, my parents didn't think, what if they're unconscious, you know,
yeah,
and they can't tell the word. So, but if it was a stranger, a complete stranger, they were supposed to tell me that word to give me their trust so I could go with them to my parents. So I was concerned about being kidnapped a lot when I was a child, even though I was very large and would have been very difficult to kidnap.
And when you're mentioning that, all I could think to myself was, we're both pretty loud kids. I don't think that would be the smartest choice of, you know, the ones to kidnap. You would want to take ones that are like quiet, not ones that are making noise and drawing attention to themselves. And, you know, there's also the fact that we were both pretty big kids. We were both pretty solidly built. And like, you know, I don't think I was ever not the base of the human pyramid whenever they made us do that dumbass shit in school.
Yep. I remember you and I had to do that. We were in the gym. Third in PE.
Yeah, I hated
you and I were that. Always we were always the bottom. I had to be dead center because I was always the one with the dead center with all the weight on him.
I used to bitch about it because I was like, what the hell is the point of this? This hurts my back. I hate doing it. And yeah. Anyway, quicksand, definitely. That's like a big one that I've thought about. It's like when I was thinking about that, I was like, oh yeah, I have never even seen quicksand once in my adult life. I thought I'd be encountering that at least, I don't know, once a year. But seriously, I thought Florida would be gone by now. Like, not to get on a hot button topic or nothing, because I typically avoid those. But honestly, I remember in fourth grade, they made us do that musical about rainforest deforestation.
Were you getting gay with kids?
What?
Were you getting gay with kids?
No.
Oh, you don't remember that South Park episode about the rainforest? Getting gay with kids is here. Help you learn about the rainforest, dear. And Jennifer Aniston was the choir director for that. It is one of the funniest.
I don't remember that one.
Oh, it's one of the few ones where Kenny makes it through all the way.
Jacob and I are going to have to watch that.
Yeah.
Because we've been going back and watching old South Park.
Yeah. It's hilarious. It's about saving the rainforest. And Cartman, of course, ends up saving the day because he ends up leaving the group when they get lost in the rainforest and finding loggers who end up killing the cannibal tribe that kidnaps all the kids. So it's a great episode. And they changed the lyrics to Getting Gay with Kids is Here. There's a place called the rainforest that really sucks ass. And it is hilarious.
That would have been much better than what we had to do. But yeah, it's like we had that whole freaking musical about rainforest deforestation. And it's like sometimes when I'm really anxious and I'm getting intrusive thoughts, I keep hearing, do we care? Do we care?
I don't remember that.
Do we care? Oh my God.
I remember the positive action songs, but I don't remember the rainforest songs.
And then it's like we had to, the same year we watched that fucking video with Whoopi Goldberg and Jamie Lee Curtis about how the Earth was going to be uninhabitable by the year 2010. And then at home at the same time, it's like on Inside Edition and Hard Copy, they began running all these like Doomsday, Judgment Day, Armageddon specials, speculating about will it be the year 2000? Will it be 2012? And fuck a duck. I could like attribute 50% of my anxiety problems to starting in fourth grade and the other 50% to being read The Giving Tree multiple times, plus having to act that fucking thing out in a play. Fuck that. Fuck a bunch of that. No.
Oh, man. I remember The Giving Tree. And at the end, it's a stump. It's a stump. I have given you everything I have had to give, but I can give you a place to rest, old man.
Did you know that it's like The Giving Tree and Rainbow Fish? I have always hated both of those. Thank God Rainbow Fish was not in the curriculum when we were in school.
I don't remember the Rainbow Fish.
Yeah, basically, give away the parts of yourself that make you different and special so people will like you. Fuck you.
Oh, wow. Conform.
Eat shit.
Yeah. All right. Hit us up on the Gator Official on our social media accounts, and we'll pick one to shout out next week about your childhood fear that you never really had come to fruition. Previously on Gifted and Talented Education Rejects, we went over which Christmas gifts we desperately wanted as little kids that ended up not living up to the hype.
Speaking of, Jacob actually found the Tisket Tasket flower basket.
Nice.
He actually found the video for it. I got to post it. And then we talked about trying to eat healthier during the holidays, despite the stresses that we faced.
We went over how big we go for our Christmas gifts for our spouses, family members, and such.
And then we went over our Christmas cheer level checks and found out Christmas tends to be harder for us for various reasons before we wrap things up. And then we talked about what family concoctions we make for the Christmas season.
Now it's your turn. Drop us your favorite moment from our last podcast on our Gator Official social media pages on Instagram, X, and Threads. When you decide to enter a marriage with someone, you often repeat the vow that you will stay with them in sickness and in health. Sometimes that's easy because the sickness goes away after a while. What is it like when your partner has a chronic condition? You begin to resent that person, or do you accept it and want to help your partner be the best they can with that condition? Let me tell you my experience. My wife and I each have chronic conditions. Both are with the head. One, mine is completely psychological because I've got schizoaffective disorder, which means I hear voices that aren't real. And if I go unmedicated with that, it can get really bad. I also have severe anxiety and depression. So those are my chronic conditions. But my wife has a chronic pain condition. She has chronic migraines. She will have migraine clusters like the one we're in right now that's lasted over a month. She just cannot shake, and there's nothing we can do. We're trying all these different medicines, all these different remedies. We're trying different treatments, and it's just frustrating for me because I can't help her, and it's hard on her because her best day is still like a 2 or 3 on the pain scale. It's like there's no day where there is no pain, you know? And it's just,
yeah,
it makes me so sad and upset for her that she cannot feel pain free, you know? And she gets hard on herself sometimes, and she gets very upset with herself that she can't do stuff. And I'm like, honey, I know you're not choosing this. I know you are not choosing to have this intense amount of pain to have every day, to be debilitated. I know you're not choosing to not be able to stand in light or watch TV or do anything that requires noise. We've really done a lot of takeout. We haven't really done a lot of eating out because the crowd noises in the restaurants can get overwhelming. and cause those migraines to trigger worse. The fluorescent lighting can trigger it. So I'm just doing whatever I can to help her feel better. I mean,
yeah,
it's frustrating. She's an awesome woman and she's had this horrible condition and I'm just doing my best to help her and doing stuff around the house, like laundry, dishes, cleaned up around the house a little bit. Still got a ways to go. I'm getting better. I've had to give myself, break it up into tasks. Like, all right, I'm going to do this task. Then I'm going to reward myself with one 20-minute episode of this TV show. Then I'm going to do this task while I fold the clothes. I'll watch TV. So I'm trying to keep myself motivated, reward myself, do something, reward myself, and just keep moving, going task to task, doing it that way. But it's hard. It's hard. It sucks. It affects so many aspects of your life. We've had plans with friends the past 2 weekends we've had to cancel. And they're totally cool. They understand, but it's hard to have a social life when bright lights, noise. I mean, we were going to go to the 25th anniversary of Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring screenings in a couple weekends, hopefully. But now we're worried that with the surround sound and all that, it'd trigger something. So it's difficult, but you adjust it. You play it by ear a lot of times and you do your best. And I try to be as loving and supporting as possible with her. So she knows that I'm here for her. I'm not going to leave her or anything. And yeah, it affects some aspects of my life that I'd rather not have affected, but you know, if it's hard to be in the mood when your head feels like it's about to explode. So, or she says she can feel her heartbeat pounding in her teeth. So it's very difficult to get in any mood when you're in that much pain. So it's, I tell her I'm horny, not heartless, you know? So I understand it's, unless that's your kink, you don't want to be in pain when you're trying to get in the mood. So
then it's like, that's not the kind of pain.
Yeah. So what's your experience in dealing with chronic conditions?
Oh, actually it's my husband is the one that gets to deal with it with me, because before motherhood, I was a damn machine. It was like Martha Stewart meets MacGyver. I cooked from scratch. I deep cleaned stuff for fun and I ran the house like a military operation. It's like, yes, I have ADHD. So I did happen to have some doom boxes. Some, you know, didn't organize, only moved, just shoved the shit in the box. And maybe a few of them were from a couple moves ago, but still, for the most part, everything was managed. And then it's like when I had my son, right, when the pandemic began and the world went completely ass up. My entire nervous system rewired through motherhood and said, yeah, we're out. Good luck, bitch. And then that's like laundry became a never ending mountain. The dishes piled up like gremlins. My OCD tendencies just shit the bed. It's like I'd be trying to do one thing and 11 other things would start screaming for attention. And it's like even at my most functional and focused before having my son, I would still always be doing three things at once, but everything would get done. And it would be like, I would start cleaning a bathroom, notice that laundry needs to get flipped, and I would go flip laundry and fold laundry. And then I would notice something else needed done. And then I would come back to cleaning the bathroom, but it got done. But then it's like, it was another level of overwhelm that I was dealing with. And meanwhile, my husband would come home, he'd take over and genuinely try. He's really the best partner can't see inside your brain when it's sparking like a frayed power cable. And it was tough because I couldn't explain it. My husband didn't truly understand what was so hard about the things I used to do with no problem. And I didn't have the vocabulary to explain the invisible part, the constant hyper-awareness, the hyper-vigilance, the sensory overload. And how that had become the hardest part and how that was burning me out and how that was what burned me out. And it's like, there was no reset for it because this was a constant barrage. It was just the two of us. We did not have a village. Grandparents, his were in California because of, you know, the pandemic and everything like that, which that's fine. Mine were all the way down in the Keys. And, you know, my mom is not a baby person. So, it's like, it was literally just us. And, you know, I hadn't even really made a whole lot of friends out here by that point. It's like, it's just been in the past 3 years that I've truly started making friends aside from my hairstylist, who I love and adore, and a couple people that I met when I was in real estate school trying to do real estate. But my husband, I mean, God love him. I'm definitely the one of the two of us that has the stronger situational awareness because I'm constantly calculating what could go wrong. I'm the one who got peed on less during diaper changes because I thought ahead and, you know, always kept in mind that our son got cold during changes, so I'd block the fire hose. My husband lacked that foresight, and maybe it's a man thing. I don't know. But here's the truth. I don't have any answers on it because I've been in the trenches for years now, and I've needed help since 2020. I can do a lot, but it's not sustainable. I can't carry everything forever, and I broke hard, and I'm still trying to fight to come back from that break. So I really don't have any pithy advice or things to say. And yeah, I could have gotten the job and put my baby in daycare, but all my wages would have gone to daycare, plus maid service, plus we'd be spending more on takeout. So basically, I'd be working outside the home just to outsource all of my labor. And it would have been a major risk because I was not a peaceful, calm mother. I was a fucking dragon for hormones and pregnancy and then burnout and depletion. So putting me in customer service would have been a truly piss poor idea because the moment a customer was rude to me, I lacked the patience and I probably would have throttled them and ended up in jail.
You know, I could see you doing that too, because I know you're very patient with friends, but you do have that short fuse for strangers and being disrespected. So I totally could see that being a bad idea for you. And you know what? Sometimes no answer is an answer, and that's okay. And hopefully you're getting help. You're working on therapy. You're working on yourself. So sometimes you just have to understand that no answer is an answer. And
well, you know, the big thing for years, I did customer service and I did great, but I was single, no kids, and I lived alone.
True. It's a change to your lifestyle. I know Lila would be much neater if I wasn't with her, because I'm a slob and a hoarder. I joked with her that if she ever left me or she died prematurely, I'd become a hoarder with 50,000 cats and Funko Pops and comic books to the ceiling. So
you're not a hoarder. You're a dragon. You've got your, you know, your things.
I do. So I think we're a good yin and yang to each other. We balance each other out. Speaking of keeping Liz out of jail and yinging and yanging, we are launching an official Gator merch shop.
That's right. Help me keep my record clean so I don't get a rap for tossing an iced macchiato at a rude customer. Supporting our podcast will help us grow without David having to sell feet pics, because truly, out of the two of us, his are so much prettier. And we're going to be doing t-shirts, stickers. We're looking at getting some like dad hats, the baseball hats, the trucker hats. Let's see.
We've got coffee mugs.
Water bottles, and just like some little office things too. So you want to have a laptop pad, laptop stickers, laptop covers. Those are other things we're looking at to add. But right now I'm still getting my samples, but we're going to be doing the t-shirts, the mugs, and the stickers as our first bits of merch. Look for that coming in the next week.
That's right. Look for a launch on Instagram X or Threads at Gator Official. That's G-A-T-E-R Official on all of those social media sites. Now, we as Xennials have straddled that line between the analog world and the digital world, often having to help our parents navigate the new digital world while keeping up with our kids as new technologies emerge. Do you end up helping your parents more often than not? Liz, you go first.
So my mom and my dad are both alive. I don't know if I've talked about my dad much on here yet, but my dad is in Kentucky. He is a silent generation person, born in 1942. My mom is born in 48. She's a boomer. And they are worlds apart. And what's ridiculous is my stepdad was silent generation as well, 1936. But he was much different from my dad because my stepdad was an engineer and he worked on projects with Lockheed. And he worked on projects in the Army as well. He worked on like weapon systems, Mars lander, that kind of stuff. So he was a techie. My mom is a major techie. She's actually more of one than I am. But my dad, on the other hand, I am definitely the service dog. Even back when I was in high school, I was the one having to set the VCR. I remember when my dad went from having his insurance business, because my dad was an insurance guy, when he went from all paper to having a computer, he called me one night because he was all mad because his secretary left the computer on. And so I was explaining to him, "Dad, you want to take the mouse and you want to move the cursor of the mouse over to the little Windows icon in the bottom, like left-hand corner." Or I forget if it was left or right.
No, it's anyway. The left hand. It's the left hand
corner. Bottom left hand corner. I use Mac stuff now, so I don't know. But anyway, bottom left hand corner. And you want to just click it. And then it'll say shut down. That's all you have to do. First, you want to save stuff. But then, so then I'm like, is it doing it? And he's like, no. And then I realized he actually had the mouse up on
the screen.
I was like, no, this is not a touch screen. Okay, here's what we're going to do. This is going to be everyone else's problem. Look for the power supply on the power strip. Click the button on the power strip. It's going to be everyone else's problem. So that's what we did with him. My mom, on the other hand, mom is ahead of me when it comes to technology. She can't remember passwords to save her life. And she can't remember login stuff to save her life either. So she's the one I get that from. But mom is actually more of a tech person than I am. But her blind spot is trusting people.
Does she get catfished?
It's one of those. She's been getting catfished. She has been getting catfished. Yeah. And I am scared to death that one of these days, you know, she's going to be on like 90 Day Fiance or something like that.
Is she paying Amazon cards to the sheriff's department who has her warrant out for her arrest?
No, thank God. But every so often she'll like forward me an email and ask my opinion on something. And I'm always just like, no, this is a scam. It's like, no, yeah, you, if you write back to him anything, write back, kiss my ass.
I'm lucky. Both my parents are pretty tech savvy. My mom, of course, because she was a media specialist, so she dealt with a lot of Windows and Apple products. My dad works in film, so he's used to a lot of the products. Now, I do have to explain some TV stuff, like logging in YouTube TV or streaming services. I got my dad on Spotify. And once I taught him how to make playlists and how to favorite songs and stuff, he's been rolling with it. And they're pretty good at when I show it to them, they'll roll with it. So I don't have to show it to them multiple times. And I just got to be patient with them as they learn it, but they pick it up pretty quickly. Like my dad's picked up his iPhone. I've showed him a few tricks that he's like, I didn't know my iPhone could do that. I was like, yep. All you got to do is do this. He's like, well, that is so cool. So, and then he learns and he's able to swipe through stuff, do it better. And my mom, like I said, she's pretty tech savvy. So my mom did get scammed by someone pretending to be the sheriff's office saying there was a warrant out for arrest, and she lost $1,000 that way. She sent a Western Union. She just got so panicked because, you know, my family, we're all squares. We're huge nerds and follow the rules. So she got freaked out by that. But that's the only scam that's happened.
You guys are like straight lawful good.
Yeah, we are. That's why I have cats for the chaotic neutral. So, what is your role with your parents when it comes to technology? Tell us about it on Instagram, X, or Threads at Gator Official. That's GATER Official on those three. Now, we are recording on January 4th, so we're just a few days into this new year. Let's try that again. We're just a few days into this new year, which means most people, I mean, we could have a nude year. I mean, you know, people want to be nude, all time, 2026. Yeah. Seeing the bits and pieces. I keep
getting hot flashes, maybe.
Well, you do live in the desert, so. But most people are still in the honeymoon period of their New Year's resolutions, but let me hit you with some hard facts. Most New Year's resolutions are given up by the second Friday in January, which would be this Friday, January 9th. 23% of people quit the first week alone. So that means come Thursday, 23% of people will have quit their first week resolutions, and 64% abandon their goals by the end of January. Now, I'm a person who does not believe in New Year's resolutions. I believe you can make a change whenever you want to make a change. New Year's Day is just an arbitrary day. You know, if you're truly wanting to be making impactful changes for your life, then you need to go on and do it. I've been watching the way I eat. I've been trying to get to the gym more. I've got a small goal. I'm going 3 times a week. Only made it twice last week. We'll see if I can get my 3 this week. I also realize that perfect is not going to happen. So just give yourself grace and make an attempt, because you sent me a great video about how some days you got 100% gym motivation. Some days you're at 70%. Some days you're at a flat fucking zero. Mm-hmm. But if you go there, you're making an effort, and that's all you can do sometimes is just make that effort. Now, I think people will find excuses when they want to not do something. It's easier to make an excuse. It's the path of least resistance. But if you truly want to make change, you have to decide, I will make change. I have not had a monster energy drink since December 17th. And that is huge for me, because I was generally putting down 4 to 8 16 ounces and like 2 or 3 24 ounces a day. So I was consuming about a gallon of Monster Energy drink a day. Oof. Yeah. My caffeine consumption was very high. I've reduced it now. I know it's better, but it's still not great. But I drink about a 2 liter of Dr. Pepper Zero a day. The rest of the time it's water or ginger ale, zero sugar ginger ale. So I'm working on better. I'm trying not to replace one vice with another. I made that conscious decision because my boss at work was worried about me. My wife was worried about me. So I was trying to help them have one less thing to worry about. It's not fun, because let me tell you, going from that amount of caffeine to what I'm going to now, it is a hell of a withdrawal.
Did you have the headaches?
I didn't have the headaches. I had the lethargy. I was really dragging, but I would make myself at work walk around, drink some cold water, or eat a protein or something. I've really liked these Dave's Killer Bread bars that have come out. It's like a combination of almond butter and blueberries or dark chocolate coconut. It's really good. They're only about 250 calories. They're good. They give me a little oomph in there with little water. So that's good. But I believe if you want to make change, you will do it. You don't just choose, I'm just going to do it because it's a Monday. I'm not going to do it just because it's the first day of the month or the first day of the year. You're just going to fucking do it because you want to fucking do it.
Just do it.
Yep. So do you believe in New Year's resolutions?
Yeah.
So how do you do it?
I set the bar stupid low just so I get a baseline sense of accomplishment. No matter how drained I am through the day. As long as I do this, I feel like I did something. And so I've kept the same few for the past few years, but I've added a new one this year. But my two that I've done for a while, the first one is label and put a date on everything that goes in the freezer. So we avoid mysteries and surprises. It could be chili. It could be tikka masala sauce. It could be marinara. We don't know. It's a surprise. I like to do chicken broth and I like to do stocks, bone broth, that kind of thing. There's been a few instances where I'm trying to do chicken pot pie. I pull out some stock that I did not label. I defrost it and I sniff it. And it's like my Asian chicken stock. So I'm smelling the ginger and the shallot. And I'm like, okay, I can't do pot pie with this. The other one, I make the bed every day. Pull the sheets tight. So when I get in bed, if nothing else, I've got a clean slate to get into bed to. This is one I've just added. I'm not being nice to people who are assholes to me anymore. And I'm not going back to my old ways where I was much younger, but I'm embracing more of the bless your heart sugar and the oh, how nice Southern charm.
I remember that. That is such a Southern thing. And there's the two bless your hearts. I don't know. There's a guy here based in Alabama who he got in trouble because he ran a parody account of a local Walker County paper where he would make fun of Walker County stuff, but he's turned it into web fame and he does a SEC roll call. And he did the SEC awards, and then he has the bless your heart in a good way and the bless your heart in a bad way. So you've got the two bless your hearts, the eat shit bless your heart and the, oh, I hope you get better, you dumbass bless your heart. So
yep,
there you go. So what is your take on New Year's resolutions? Tell us about it on Instagram, X, or Threads at Gator Official.
For today's closing question, what is your shameful comfort food or the dish that you love dare not name in front of others to eat? I actually made mine because I've been sick and I felt awful. It is Kentucky baked spaghetti. Don't get too excited. It's actually pretty shameful. The original recipe came from a 1950s kitchen. My grandma got it from some other farmer's wife in town back in the 50s. Now you have to remember, Kentucky was not known for Italian cuisine. So you can't really think of it as that. You need to think of it as 1950s convenience food. Think of it as homemade SpaghettiOs, right down to using Campbell's tomato soup for the sauce. The OG recipe called for browned and drained ground beef, condensed tomato soup, broken cooked spaghetti. Yeah, I know, sacrilege. And then you top that bitch in a blanket of Velveeta and bake. It is shameful, but comforting. My updated version uses homemade tomato soup, basically all sorts of San Marzano tomato products, onion, butter, garlic, chicken stock, and oregano. I usually make a decent batch to freeze because I like to use it as sauce when I do the Hungarian stuffed peppers because the original recipe for that used tomato sauce. I'm sorry, the tomato soup. And I'll sometimes throw it in like a meatloaf or cottage pie. And then I use the rotini pasta, or the ones that look like little bits of old school telephone cable. Cook the pasta in the sauce with chicken stock instead of water. And then you want to brown your ground beef separately. And you season your ground beef with salt and pepper to taste before adding them to the mix. And then you top it with deli American cheese. It's less shame, all comfort.
All right. Now, my go-to comfort food, I don't really have a shameful thing because I will eat it. I'll eat pretty much anything and I don't care, but I'm old school. As long as a bologna has the red wax on it that you peel off, I want that with American cheese, ketchup, mustard. Bam. I'm good.
You ever fry the bologna?
Oh yeah. Sometimes I fry it and put the cheese on it to melt the cheese on it. It's good. Lila once added an egg to it, which was really good.
Oh yeah.
I like fried egg. I like hard eggs. I'm over hard. I'm not over easy.
You know, when I was keto, there was a couple times I fried the bologna and then put cheesy scrambled egg in it like a little taco.
Nice. See, when I was a little kid, I would take the bologna and put American cheese in it and roll it up and dip it in ketchup and mustard on a plate. just straight up eat it like that.
Yeah, I've done that.
So that was how I rolled. Love that. But I mean, it's the simple stuff, you know. I will do that all day. That's a good comfort food, or PBJ. You know, when I was trying to gain weight back when I played football, when I had to gain weight, I would eat 4 PBJs at night with a protein shake. So
yeah, that'll do it.
I couldn't gain weight though. That was my problem in football, is I was burning so many calories. Plus I was walking about 7 miles around campus. So I was just burning calories all day long, and it was hard to keep weight on. And I wish I had that problem now. So, all right, we got to get out of here. So go follow our account on Instagram, Threads, and X. From the link on our official Instagram account, you will find a link to previous episodes, updates, and links to shows and links to show your support for myself and my co-host, the sponsors of the Gifted and Talented Education Rejects. Liz, how can they find you on social media?
I am at Liz DeMoisey Books. That is Liz DeMoisey, DeMoisey Books on Instagram.
And she's not about to cry. Her throat is just so dry from all the coughing she's been getting on with all this. So she's not crying. I'm not hurting your feelings. I actually changed my X. I'm now David Sears 1982 to match my Instagram and TikTok and all of that. So if you want to find me, look for David Sears 1982 on all social media. I'm on TikTok, but I don't really use it. I pretty much just get videos. I actually deleted the app from my phone. Because I just got tired of it. I don't care. If you send me something, let me know and I'll go on my computer, look at the TikTok on my computer, which Lila sent me this really cool thing, a video. It's Allodonia. It's a sensation she gets after her migraines where her head, neck, and shoulders are super sensitive. Just like the glasses on her face makes her face hurt, you know? Mm-hmm. I'd never heard of that. So that was pretty cool. I hope I said it right. Allodonia. It was very interesting and insightful. So there is some educational stuff on TikTok. But I can't wait to talk with you again in 2 weeks. We'll figure out what we're going to talk about then. So Liz, have a wonderful week. We will definitely stay in touch and keep talking the way we do. So for Liz DeMoisey, I'm David Sears. This has been the Gifted and Talented Education Rejects on DeMoisey Sears Media. Have a nice day. The proceeding has been a production of DeMoisey Sears Media.